Let us love and sing in wonder. Let us praise the Savior's name. He has hushed the law's loud thunder. He has quenched Mount Sinai's flame. This is Danny Hyde, pastor of the Oceanside United Reformed Church, inviting all sinners, all those struggling with their burdens, all those who have fallen out of church, all those worried about their sins, to come and hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, which alone can save and renew. I invite you to join us every Sunday at 10:15 a.m. and 5 p.m. You can also find us online at oceansideurc.org. That's oceansideurc.org.
Opening God's holy word with reverence and joy. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
There has been a strange thing that I've seen in Christianity. Over the years, I have heard Christian pastors and leaders and all sorts of youth group teachers and pastors and all these things really hammer on service. In fact, they've so put yokes on people's around their necks that people are always feeling today, if they're a Christian, like they're never doing enough. They always have a sort of inward guilt that maybe I'm not doing enough service. Maybe I'm not doing enough for the Lord. And so we pound on service. We got to get them out there. We got to get them doing. And we're not really listening to the heart of what Jesus is after in service. That's what's lacking. We want to have a whole fresh approach to looking at Christian service today. It should be something that flows out of a heart that is thankful for grace, but that understands that it's the Lord that supplies not only the gifts we need to do the service, but also the opportunities. Sometimes I think we're running around trying to do everything. What do they say? What is the going thing? 10% of the people in the church do 90% of the work. Maybe we need to rethink this whole thing on gifts and service and how the Lord has instructed and motivated Christian service, and we might start seeing the kind of thankful hearts that the Lord is after in people, again, giving themselves to serve the Lord in simplicity and in joy. We're going to look at that today on Abounding Grace Radio. Call us at 888-504-8805. You can also visit us on the web at agradio.org. 888-504-8805. agradio.org. Find us also on Facebook. We're so thankful to our listeners for tuning in to Abounding Grace Radio. Here's the message now from Matthew chapter 25, the joy of Christian service.
And so it's my goal this morning to look at this parable with you and of the talents, and Jesus is explaining for us how we should live, what we should be about in simplicity, in joy of heart, in the duties that he's given us to do as we anticipate his coming on the clouds of heaven and his glorious return. The parable we're considering this morning comes towards the end of what has been known as Christ's Olivet Discourse. By this point, Jesus has just explained to them what is shortly going to come to pass. Remember, they had come to him, and Jesus had said, "Do you not see all these things? Not one stone shall be left here upon another." He was talking about the destruction of the temple at the beginning of Matthew chapter 24. And he then explained to them, as they asked these questions to him, they came to him privately as they're sitting on the hill and they're overlooking the splendor of the Kidron Valley. He begins to rehearse with them, answering their question. "When will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" We want to understand this. And so Jesus is set all this in that context about what they should be doing in the interim. The transition out of him answering those questions, and now he focuses it himself on their particular kind of behavior in the interim, is given in verse 46. When he says, you'll notice there in Matthew chapter 24, verse 46, you can go back to 45, "Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time. Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Doing what? You should all ask, right? What should we be doing? Well, from that, Christ launches into parables to explain that. Just preceding our particular parable this morning, he gave the well-known parable of the 10 virgins. You know this parable. It's a powerful parable, has a lot of punch in this parable, where he describes that there were 5 foolish virgins and there were 5 wise virgins. And it all had to do with their anticipation for his coming. Remember at the end of that parable, one day the master of the house came. One day he showed up. No one expected it. Jesus had been saying that. And those who were ready entered into the kingdom. Those who were not were caught outside and the door was shut. It's one of the worst imageries I find in the scriptures. I don't enjoy speaking that. This is terrible, isn't it? I absolutely hate that imagery of people being caught outside. Jesus gave it on more than a few occasions. That people associated with Christianity who put off repentance, who put off coming and believing, their lives showed it. They had all these calls, come, enter in, come. They were hanging around the church, in and around the church. They knew the church. They were to some degree a part of the church, but they never entered. They never came. And Jesus is pressing at this point the urgency of all this. You have to enter today. Enter and come. This is why he was saying, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. I will give you rest. Enter today. And so Jesus concluded that when he said, watch and be ready. Ready for what? His coming. His coming. Could be at any time. I've told you the story of Eric Finema before, but Eric Finema was an older minister who I was dear friends with, and at the end of his life, he had preached his last sermon saying to me, hey, I'm going to be in Linden. I'd like to come. If you want me to preach, I'll preach. He preached, and he preached on that text, Matthew 25. Watch, be ready. And he never even made it back to his own church. Within that week, he died. And I always thought, what a powerful illustration himself of the call to be ready. The call to be ready. Well, Christ now tells another parable following this. And he's giving this parable so that each hearer, each kind of person in the church, everyone in the church would evaluate how they're spending their time in preparation for his coming. Some are about the Lord's service because of their gratitude and love for their king. They have the most wonderful blessing to come. I mean it. They have something so wonderful coming. Sleepers, though, there are people who aren't in any kind of service for the king. We'll look at what all that exposes. The Lord is saying they're inviting judgment. It's as if Jesus, it's asking if Jesus were to descend on the clouds of heaven right now, this moment, what would he find you doing? If he looked at your life, what would he find? Have you believed? And what have been the evidences of that? Our calling is never to be idle, but to be faithful workers in the kingdom for him. So Jesus tells this parable. Let's look at it. Jesus tells this parable in verse 14 where he says, for it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and trusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away, went on a journey. What is a talent? It's a fascinating little emphasis here on talent. Everyone in those days would have understood that in the ancient world that was kind of a measure of weight or a unit of coin value. It was generally known that a talent was no less than 600,000 denarii, which would have been in our time hundreds of thousands of dollars. So the emphasis Jesus is giving here, and you got to be careful with parables. You can't interpret them real. All the little details are not meant to do that. It's meant to give you a big picture here. The point Jesus is making with that is he has entrusted something of immense value to his people. Each talent was extremely valuable. To which we ask, well, what then does that represent? Many have come to define a talent as some sort of natural ability. J.C. Ryle defines a talent this way: anything whereby we may glorify God is a talent. Our gifts, our influence, our money, our knowledge, our health, our strength, our time, our senses, our reason, our intellect, our memory, our affections, our privileges as members of Christ's church, our advantages as possessors of the Bible, all are talents. I really like that. That's really good. But I want to add to that. It's beyond that. Notice the talents are given to the faithful and unfaithful servants. But verse 14 says very plainly, the talents are given according to ability. According to your abilities. That's a fascinating interjection there. So it's as if these are opportunities according to your gifts. Opportunities according to gifts. Be a plain way of saying it. Now again, I don't want to overinterpret this, but the point would be the same either way. The Lord has given you all sorts of opportunities to serve him and to serve his people, to love his people. Maybe that comes in the form of being an office bearer, a leader. Maybe that comes as being a teacher in the body. Maybe that comes as being an encourager. Maybe that comes as serving the shut-in, visiting the sick. Christ has all given you gifts, and he's given you opportunities with those gifts. 1 Corinthians 12 makes that really clear. Not only has he given you the gift, he's given you the opportunities to use those gifts. So what is Christ describing here? Well, the picture here is that Jesus is the man who's gone off to the far country. In other words, you know right now, he is in heaven. He's gone off. He's going to come back one day. And right now, he's not with us on the earth. In his physical presence, he is residing in heaven. He's seated. But at some point, he'll return again. And in this interim, you know that Ephesians 4 says he's poured out gifts and he's poured out opportunities and he assigns to everyone in the house, everyone in his kingdom, certain responsibilities. You think of 1 Corinthians 12. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, there it is, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. What's his point? The gifts that are given are to be used in the certain capacities and certain obligations and opportunities that God has given you for the sole purpose that his body may be profited, that his body may be built up. The body is the church. The body is his people. The Lord wants us to be working servants. 1 Peter 4, as each one has received a gift, minister it. Use those opportunities to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You've got the gift, use it. So Jesus is showing us here what he means when he says, blessed is that servant when his master comes, will so find him doing. Doing. God distributes to each one differently. Everyone has gifts in accordance with their talents, different responsibilities. God never meant for the Christian to be idle, which is interesting because there are a lot of verses warning against apathy and idleness. just being idle in the Christian life, busybodies. So Jesus says this is the concern. This is why Luther said, if I knew the Lord Jesus Christ was coming tomorrow, I'd plant a tree today. I'd be busy. And that's wonderful. You're about the service of the King. Well, I want you to notice what Jesus describes in verses 20 through 23. He says in verse 20, he breaks this down for us, he who had received the 5 talents came forward bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents here. I've made 5 talents more. He is ecstatic. Do you see this? Do you feel it? He is excited. He's overwhelmed with joy for the opportunities that the Lord gave him in the service of the kingdom, in the service of the King. It's like a young child who comes up, you know, they draw something. They have these things and they draw and they always have pictures. And, you know, the picture may not be so great to me, but the child brings it up and they're so excited. Dad, look what I've created here. You get that all the time from kids. The master comes back and says, Bravo! Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over millions of dollars. Remember, it's talent unit. They know what he's saying. You've been faithful over millions. I'm going to put you in charge even of more. Really exciting when you think of what Isaiah talks about when the kingdom comes in fullness and the new heavens and the new earth, and we're working. What I love about this is that there's nothing contractual. Did you catch that? It wasn't an arrangement of, you do this or else. It wasn't an arrangement of, you do this so that you'll get eternal life. He's not a mob boss. Put it that way. It wasn't an arrangement of making sure that enough was done to get in. It wasn't that. The relationship that's described here is one of absolute privilege and absolute joy of working for this man. You don't even have to put it down on a contract. I'm so excited to bring him back more. It's a privilege to work in this man's kingdom. I'm so excited to bring a return on your money. I'm thankful to have a place in your vineyard. You get the sense of joy is just radiating in this whole thing, don't you? It's up. It's positive. It's upbeat. I love the further distinction that's made. The one who had been given 2 talents came to the Lord and said the same thing. You've given me 2. Look, Lord, here's 2 more. Here's 2 more. Happiness. We would look at this and think, he didn't do that much. Two and two. Jesus gave a similar parable of workers who came in at different hours in the day in the vineyard, remember? And there was some who came in early in the morning, worked all day in the hot and sweaty, in the sweat. Some came in at noon, some came in at 2. And then somebody came in at 5 o'clock when the workday ended at 6. And the master gave him the same amount. It wasn't about all that he could do for him, was it? Of course not. I want to get back into your mind last week, if you remember Mark's gospel, the imagery of Jesus walking into Peter's house, whose mother-in-law was sick, and he grabs, this is early on in Mark's gospel, he grabs her by the hand and he lifts her up, and you have a little phrase in the Greek, and she served him. What a beautiful picture. I said last time, I'd imagine she made him a meal. The message here is that the Lord has just as much joy over that servant who only brought back 2 as he does over the one who brought back 5. This is the whole imagery here. This is the whole effect of this. It's not about quantity, it's about quality. This service, of course, never makes it into the news. It's service like this. 1 Timothy, pray for others that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. What is the value of godliness and honesty in your life? How about this? 1 Thessalonians 4. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to attend to your own business and work with your hands, just as we commanded you, so that you will behave properly toward outsiders and not be in any need. What an opportunity. We think Christianity's for the stars, of course, don't we? Oh yeah, it's for the stars. God has little people. Listen, God must like the common folk because he made a whole bunch of them. As one pastor said, we like the muscle cars. We like the cars that can do 125, 150. What do you think of the minivan? I mean, that's every guy's nightmare. No guy wants to drive around the minivan. I had one, I know. I was all until an old couple about 80 years old passed by eyeing my minivan saying, honey, we need to get one of those. When it comes to his church, God loves the minivan. That minivan can pick up a lot of people and take them to church. The raw power, we think, of productivity, as this pastor said. The Lord is pleased with whatever abilities and talents and the opportunities we use that he has given. Here's the beauty. On Judgment Day, when he comes, what's the picture? You have all this discussion in the Christian world. Well, a Christian's going to be judged on that day. And are they going to have their sins brought up? He is rewarding their works. How so? Sure, they were works prepared beforehand, Ephesians 2, that we should walk in them. But what a picture. Is he raising their failures? This verse 2? Notice what he said. When he comes home and sees that they had doubled the talent, bravo! Well done! Enter in. Enter into the joy of your master. It's the same thing in the next section on Judgment Day, that after Judgment Day comes and he sets the sheep on the right and the goats on the left, he has this whole imagery given, and he highlights this whole thing of what's going to happen. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, this is verse 34, you who are blessed of my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. This was decreed for you. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked at me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will say, well, when did we ever do that? I don't remember going to prison and visiting anyone. I don't remember doing that to you. I don't remember taking a cup of cold water anywhere. It's not on our radar, is it? He says, I saw it. When you did it to those whom I love, you did it to me. I mean, it's just wonderful, isn't it? That's Judgment Day for the believer. When did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see a stranger and invite you in, or somebody needing clothing and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. Well, that's a perspective. Imagine if we all viewed our service as doing it directly for Christ and loving your brothers and sisters. Well, that's the imagery here in this parable in verse 19. After a long time, the master shows up and he settles accounts. And it's fascinating to me, he told his disciples before they had even persevered, rejoice, for your name is written in heaven. So, I mean, this was secure for them. The relationship between the master and the servants is one of complete intimacy, trust, peace. Just beautiful. Given a cup of cold water, all these things that are not rock star Christianity that we're so obsessed with in our country. God rewards good works based on grace, but He does reward them. He does reward them. Having peace with God today, Romans 5, having been justified by faith, we now have peace with God. We should be saying, Lord, what would you like me to be doing in your kingdom? Show me the opportunities, make them clear to me so I see them. Those are ready. You see the point? Those are ready. They're watching. That's watching. They're ready for His coming. Blessed is the master when he comes home, will so find them doing. They're eager to do so. They're ready. To which it all says, well, then how do you value your talent? Is it of immense value to you that God has handed you a talent that is worth, in our day, would be worth millions and millions of dollars? How tight would you hold to your millions and millions of dollars? What about a talent that he hands to you?
Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace.
Live from New York, it's Saturday night.
Entertainment is good fun, but your pastor shouldn't be a stand-up comic, and church is not a nightclub. In worship, we meet a holy God face to face in Christ, in His gospel. Escondido United Reformed Church is committed to reverent, joyful worship every Sunday, 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Escondido United Reformed Church, 760-745-1679, eurc.org, 760-745-1679, eurc.org.